Several years ago, the Mexican boll weevil devastated millions of cotton acres and drove thousands of southern farmers to bankruptcy. Yet a monument was erected in Alabama to honor the pest. I'll be back in a moment with the amazing facts about the two faces of trouble. Hello, this is Joe Cruz on the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. Have you ever noticed how great men rise up in times of crisis to accomplish special tasks far beyond the call of duty? From the very beginning of history, God raised up mighty leaders to bring His people out of darkness. Often these leaders would arise from obscurity to accomplish their work very quickly and then sort of pass off the scene of action. But the man was always needed, and God always prepared him by special power to perform his work. In the call of Elijah the Tishbite, we find such an obscure prophet. This man seemed to rise swiftly from some unknown origin. He came on the stage when Israel was in great trouble. The wicked King Ahab and his queen Jezebel had led the people of Israel into sun worship. Paganism had been brought in to supplant the worship of the true God. And during those times of backsliding and apostasy, God called this unlearned mountaineer Elijah to be his spokesman. He filled that man with the courage of a lion and gave him a message of judgment for Ahab and his wicked pagan wife. Elijah boldly walked into the throne room of the palace and delivered his message that there would be no rain or dew for 3.5 years. I'm sure, friends, there was not much polish about his presentation of that message either. He must have spoken very bluntly and then turned and walked out abruptly. After leaving the palace of Ahab, Elijah made his way out into the wilderness. God directed him there to live in a cave, you remember, by the side of a certain brook. The brook was named Cherith. And in spite of the fact that Ahab's soldiers were searching for Elijah, he was hidden and protected in that quiet desert place. And the wonderful thing is that God provided for his prophet during that time of the drought. We have a wonderful picture there of Elijah being fed every day by ravens who brought food to him. God worked a miracle every morning to keep Elijah supplied with food and water. I want us to study the providence of God, friends, in this experience today. Elijah was walking in the very center of the divine will of God. And as long as he did that, there was no lack at all for anything. God even worked miracles to supply his needs. Let me tell you that the God of Elijah still lives today. God has always provided. He always will provide for those who serve him. You remember how Abraham toiled up the slopes of Mount Moriah and how his son Isaac asked that question, "Father, where is the lamb for the sacrifice?" And Abraham said, "God will provide a sacrifice." Now, friends, it may test our faith, but if we'll be faithful to him and hold his hand, there'll never be any real lack in the life. So Elijah lived there by the brook Cherith, very happy, very contented during those years of famine. But friends, something happened right in the midst of those years that must have been quite shocking and upsetting to the prophet. The brook dried up. Now perhaps he first wondered just what it was all about and why it had happened. Let's notice the Bible account of it now in 1 Kings 17:7-9. "And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up, because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Sidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee." Now, friends, I say that God had a hand in the drying up of that brook. I say that it would have been tragic for Elijah to just stay there in that one place. There was another experience waiting for him. The widow's cruse was to be replenished. A miracle was needed for a poor woman in trouble. Elijah would have missed the miracle, and he would have missed the Mount Carmel experience if he had not gone and left that place by the brook. He would have missed Elisha, out there plowing in the field, had the brook not dried up. You see, friends, God gave the brook, and he dried it up. And let me say this, God's brooks always dry up. He doesn't want us to stay in the same place all the time. That's a great trouble with the modern Christian. We get by a little brook that's refreshing and it brings blessing to us, and we want to stay there the rest of our days. Yes, it's good when God places us in certain situations that are refreshing to us. But my friends, the time comes when there's a breaking up of the nest, an unsettling of circumstances about us. I don't think Elijah was backsliding because this thing happened. I rather think that he was growing spiritually. He went on to something even greater and more wonderful than he'd ever known before. Some people have been sitting in the same place for many, many years. The same brook of their life has been flowing peacefully and quietly. They've been satisfied with the good things God has given to them. But friends, God has wanted to move them out into some other areas where they might do more good. The lesson for us here is that it looked as though Elijah might starve, but God was really opening the door to something greater. God closed Cherith before he revealed Zarephath. Now I can just imagine Elijah waking up in the morning and looking down on those dry rocks. And then there was no raven either to bring his food that morning. What a test that must have been for him as he waited. He didn't know what had happened. He didn't understand why this thing was taking place. But as he waited, it says, the word of the Lord came to him, telling him to make that long journey up to the coast of Sidon where he was to meet that widow. Well, when he came there, the poor woman was gathering sticks to make a last meal with the last bit of oil she had. Elijah asked her to make the food and give it to him. Now, I'm sure that seemed to be a very strange and unreasonable request for anybody to make. But Elijah knew that if God had dried up one brook, he was perfectly able to open up another one for this poor widow. So he made his request. She hesitated for a moment and then went to obey. And probably that was the most unreasonable thing that she had ever done in her life. And yet somehow she was impelled to go ahead and honor that request. She dipped down in the barrel for that last little bit of meal, and then she dipped down again and again and again, and she did the same thing with the oil, and friends, there was no end. It lasted, and it lasted for many, many days. It did not run out or dry up. It lasted, in fact, until the rains came and she was able to find food again. Well, now God leads, you see, from one experience to another, from one brook to another. As long as we stay in the center of His will, there will always be provision made. Our whole life will be under His plan and direction. There'll be many surprises, of course, as new brooks open up. Some of them may appear to be mistakes for a while. And then, just like the brook of Cherith dried up, it may seem that God has forsaken us, that we've been left to perish. But faith will soon discover an open door to enter, and there'll be another experience ahead. Do you remember as a child reading the story of Joseph for the first time? I can still remember how emotionally upset I got. I read about Joseph going down into Egypt as a slave. And he was a happy, carefree boy, and his life seemed to roll along like a happy brook. But suddenly the brook dried up, and he was taken to Egypt. Now, friends, I say it was far better that it did dry up. God could see the future. Joseph didn't know what the Mara held at all, but God had a divine purpose in taking Joseph down to Egypt. It was in order to save the lives of his family, his loved ones, and to change, of course, the history of the world in the process. In later years, Jacob was weeping his heart out. He didn't know what the morrow would hold either. I could just hear him moaning and groaning as he said, Simeon is not, and Joseph is gone, and now they're going to take Benjamin from me. Everything's against me. Yes, his brook had dried up. But a few days later, he was on the back of a camel going down to Egypt. How happy and joyful he was to meet Joseph again. Another door had opened up, even though the brook of his life had dried up. There the guilty brothers confessed their complicity in selling Joseph. And then those wonderful words of Joseph, you remember. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. What a glorious truth it was. Both Joseph and Jacob were glad now that the brook had dried up. Friends, listen, let's not grieve because we've lost something that seemed very precious to us, because good will surely come from it. When one door closes, another must open. Rejoice because God is leading into something even more wonderful and more blessed than you've ever known before. As long as you live in the center of His will, there's a plan and purpose for life that cannot fail. And there can be no retreat at all. The brook dries up and then another one springs forth. Did you know that a monument in Enterprise, Alabama honors a pest, the Mexican boll weevil? In 1915, when the pest made its first appearance in Coffee County, Alabama, the annual yield of 35,000 bales of cotton was cut by 40%. The ravages of the pest spread throughout the entire cotton belt from Texas to Georgia. Threatened by bankruptcy, the farmers turned to diversified farming and began the successful growing of corn and potatoes and peanuts. In 1919, when the country's peanut crop was yielding more than 1 million bushels every year, a monumental fountain with this inscription was constructed in Enterprise, Alabama. In profound appreciation of the boll weevil and what it has done as the herald of prosperity, this monument was erected by the citizens of Enterprise, Coffee County, Alabama. Well, friends, that's exactly right. Sometimes the disappointments turn out to be the greatest blessings in disguise. If we could only develop the habit of saying, well, my good is going to come from this as long as I trust in the Lord. Yeah, if we say that, friends, nothing really happens by chance. God overrules and directs and measures out to us what's best. I'm afraid we often limit God by the way we act. We act as though He's exhausted His power on us. Listen, the Lord has great things in store. There are 1,000 ways to guide and lead us that we know nothing about. We should never settle down content that we've finally achieved all that God wants us to have or all that He wants us to be. The greatest of blessings may be waiting just around the corner for us. And don't think that God has deserted you when the brook of your life seems to dry up. He's merely wanting you to move on up higher. Then troubles come and your dreams seem shattered. It's really not for ill. Look for something good. All things work together for good to those that love the Lord. There's a deeper experience waiting for you, friends. Over and over, you'll want to build a tabernacle and just stay in one place. Remember, that's what Peter wanted to do up on that Mount of Transfiguration. You'll want to keep certain things in your life, to live in a certain place. And then suddenly the nest is disturbed. The brook dries up. Everything seems to go into reverse suddenly. Oh, just remember what Joseph said. The Lord meant it for good. Now it's wonderful if we can stand by that dried up place in our lives and praise God and realize that very soon we're going to see another door open that will lead us into some grander and greater experiences than we've ever had before. Yes, I can look back into the events of my own life and see where just a few things changed the course of that life completely. In fact, I'll tell you, I stood in a spot at one time in which I had to make a decision in the next 5 minutes that was going to determine the entire future of my whole life. And I thank God that by His grace I was able to make the right decision. But had I gone the other way, my life would have fallen out in a different direction and I might not ever have been saved as a result. I felt at the time that those events that happened to me had scarred me for a life to come. And yet now I realize that God was leading me. I wouldn't be a minister today if it hadn't been for God's wonderful provision for me in ways that I did not understand at all at the time it happened. May God help you to look up in faith, friends, today and hold on to His unchanging hand and realize that all things do work together for good to those that really love the Lord. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.